Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday show. It's Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast, streaming on iTunes. You can also pick us up at everydayisaturday.com. Just click on the podcast button. And it's Sunday. So if it's Sunday, we must be talking about the spiritual podcast. And now we have a regular guest in studio. Some may fear that he's actually hijacked the Everyday Saturday spiritual podcast, but very good friend of mine, back for his second appearance on the Everyday Saturday show, Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church here in Cincinnati. Shane, how are you?
Sam, it's great to be back. It was a good week to be with you last week, so I felt like I could maybe manage a couple more minutes with you.
We had a ton of reaction from our podcast. I think the goal, it's always been my goal. You and I are, I don't know, we're a lot alike, but we're really different as well, I think, in a lot of ways. if you hadn't picked that up from last week, Shane got ambushed because I felt bad. We got done. Some of you, what you can't see behind the scenes, we'll give you a little bit of inside baseball here, but Shane came in for what he thought was going to be just to, you know, talking about God and spirituality and how you can have faith and work in your life and all that. And we came out of the gates fire. Well, at least I did.
You did. Yeah. You did. You hit me with some questions I was not ready for.
What'd you think when you left the studio last week after our podcast?
I thought, oh my gosh, what did I just say? That's what I thought. How did that work? And I hope I was clear, and I hope I didn't sound like a fool. That was what I thought.
Yeah. Well, I think up until that last sentence, you were right, but no, I'm kidding.
nice.
We had great reaction. All we want is we want people to think. That's the goal of the Everyday Saturday podcast. 6 days a week, we want them to think about harnessing the power of their message and becoming an entrepreneur. And one day a week, we want them to think about their faith and really how it works in their own journey. We're not even saying we have all the answers. I know I don't. And Shane's here because he's a very good friend of mine. I've known him for 10 years. He planted a church here in Loveland, Ohio, Branches Church. You can find it online at branchischurch.us. And the whole goal of this, Shane, it's like we're kicking it at Starbucks. And
right.
We want people to eavesdrop into our conversations about questions that are real questions, though. You know, not these teed up, hit it out of the ballpark with a softball type religious question. That's probably what we did last week. We started going down a road of just having a real conversation.
We did. And some of the questions you asked, Sam, were questions that I get from people on a regular basis, but they don't know where they can ask them. They don't know. Usually I say something like, you know what, let me get some information on that and we will talk about it. You know, I don't walk around having everything memorized in my head. So I felt like, you know, there were some great moments last week, though, because the questions were questions that lots of people ask me, and we had a chance to really get to a place where it wasn't a written sermon. It was a conversation of this is how I feel and this is how I operate in life with these boundaries and those areas, and that's how I make it. And I love the responses on Facebook and Twitter. It's been so exciting just to see people respond and want to know more.
Yeah. And I think that's all we want is people to just think and respond. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter at Sam Crowley, use the hashtag Shane Harden. And that way I can make sure Shane gets copied on the tweets as well. S-H-A-N-E-H-A-R-D-E-N. Hashtag Shane Harden. And hit me up at Sam Crowley on Twitter. Today we're going to talk about after we left the studio last week, we had some deep conversations. We were talking about different religions. We were talking about adversity in your life. We were talking about death. What happened, Shane, last week? Church was over at Branches. You went to the movies to see, what was the movie you saw?
The new Son of God movie, which is getting lots of controversy, but I thought it was an amazing movie. There was definitely a lot of liberties taken, but a great movie, and took my family to see it. And, you know, the number two movie at the box office right now, only estimated to make $12 million, is way up close to $30 million, and is looking like it's going to do really, really well. It was a great chance for me to talk about things of Jesus with my kids, and we had a great experience. But on the way home from there, in the middle of the blizzard that night, I got a text message that one of my very best friends and closest friends as a worship leader for 25 years had died with a heart attack at age 43. Mm-hmm. And it's been a hard week. Mike Cowart has been a huge part of my career and my calling in ministry, and I have walked with him through some very difficult seasons in his life, and just tragic. 43 years old, a young daughter and a young son, and now without a father. And I pray for his whole family, and as they are getting ready to do the memorial service tomorrow, and we're getting ready to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's, I know Mike because you introduced me to Mike about 4 years ago. He was at a church where you were the worship pastor here in Cincinnati. And he wrote a song, Even If I Fall. And I think that's one of the most amazing songs that you guys sing. And Mike actually sang it live at MCC, our old church we used to go to. But when you guys sing that song, and we're going to end today's podcast, you'll be able to hear Mike's, in tribute to Mike Cowart, Even If I Fall. You'll be able to hear the entire song. We're not going to have the regular extra, the ending of the Everyday Saturday podcast. I'm going to let you hear the song, because when you sing that song, Even If I Fall, you don't have to sing it, but a couple of the words or the verses in there, what would, do you know the story behind that song?
I do. Mike ended up with a sexual addiction early on in his life, in his marriage, to pornography, and then into multiple relationships. He was a tennis star out of Nashville, and he tells his story that he really tried to make it work with his wife, and she's a beautiful lady, and it just tragically ended because of his addiction, and he couldn't stop with affairs and things that he was having, so he kind of went into recovery, and during recovery, this song was specific to Though I Fall, You're There to Pick Me Up, and the verses talk about going through adversity. I may pass through the waters, but I know that you're with me. I'll go to that mountain, you know, reflecting on going to God when things have hit rock bottom. And the great thing is Mike got his life together, mm-hmm. and he was restored in ministry, and because we have a God of many chances, and he had that opportunity to get back into worship and music, and that song has become an anthem for churches really all over the world in mission trips. It's really cool just seeing people post and write. I had a guy say, hey, you know what, my teenager sing that every Sunday, and he's in Texas, and he had got it from me posting it on a Facebook page. So it's just really interesting watching how that song's impacting people, because we all fall, we all mess up, we all can blow it, and we serve a God who says, you know what, I love you so much, and I'm going to help you, and not only a God of second chances, but a God of many chances and opportunities.
When Mike fell, which is an amazing story, not that Mike falling, but the amazing story about how he rebounded, I want to talk to you about how his death has impacted you, because it's still fresh. It's only been a few days, and but it's so sad. When Mike was falling, I don't know this story, so I apologize. That's why I'm asking these questions. First question is, did his marriage dissolve immediately? Because we have a lot of people listening to the Everyday Saturday show. They need help, man. They're not in a perfect relationship. Whether that be a marriage or just a regular relationship, they struggle. They feel as if they fail and God is going to come down on them and the relationship is going to blow up. And there's no second act to that. Life's over.
Right.
They got one shot at a marriage or a relationship. What was Mike's story? Like how long was that process between falling and what happened that day? Because I remember Mike telling the story at MCC. I think this is the story. The garage door went down
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of was like the curtain coming down on his marriage and he had to leave.
Well, you know, obviously his wife worked for many years trying to work out the issues that he had, forgave him for affairs. They worked through a lot of things, through counseling, through help, and they were seeking as much, but that became a crutch for him. He knew that he had that opportunity and that she would forgive him. And,
right.
You know, not really being, you know, being a pastor, I know some intimate things and details of how that worked. But the bigger picture of it was they did their very best. Mike really couldn't free himself from the addiction issues that he had. It was never substance abuse or anything like that, but this sexual addiction is a real thing. And so through help, he was able to get back on his feet again, but the marriage was too far gone.
Yeah.
And he stayed in relationship, friendship with her. She's remarried and happily remarried. And every night actually came into the home to put the kids to bed in the home where she and her husband live. Mm. And at nighttime when the garage door would go down, he would say it felt like a reminder of the sin in his life, closing off a part of his life because of his failure. And there's some, you know, his whole EP that's online on iTunes is really good. There's another song called You that's on there that talks about that he wrote.
Why don't you go ahead and spell his name or at least sound that so people
Mike,
around, this podcast is going worldwide. So
Mike Cowart, Cowart.
Okay.
And you'll find it on iTunes.
Okay.
The album is called Even If I Fall.
Yeah. You know, you deal with, I want to keep this on Mike because I didn't mean to make this a tribute to Mike, but I think it's a real powerful story. By the way, we have no script to this show.
That's right.
Yeah, we just kind of, it's Shane and I hanging out. And this is the first time I had a chance to talk to Shane since we did the show last week. And I knew Mike had just passed away. So Mike's going through these troubles. And we're all Mike Cowarts.
Mm-hmm.
We all have an addiction. We all struggle with something.
Right.
None of us are perfect. It's a fallen world. People listening to the show right now are like, how do I bounce back? How did Mike get to the point where he felt at least... trying to think of the word, any power, did he get any of that power back? His strength through God, or was it faith? Was it immersing himself back into the church? Was it friends? Was it small group? How did he rally to at least get some semblance of a life? Because now his wife is happily married. He's was in a great relationship prior to passing away. Things from my 30,000 foot view appear to have worked out as
right.
best they could under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
What was the impetus? How did he get all that back together again?
Well, I would answer that with yes, all of those things. You know, he used relationships with great counselors. He used relationships with pastors and friends and, you know, spending time with him. I knew that he was seeking help. And I do remember there were days where he would come up to sing from Nashville, he would bring accountability partners with him to hold him accountable. And those were important parts of his recovery. You know, all of us, the recovery path is different, but I definitely see a need for us to seek out help when we can't figure it out on our own. And for some reason, people don't, and it's too late. And we hear these tragic stories ending with... you know, hurting yourself or living a very miserable life because they didn't seek out the help that they needed. And that's why there's professionals, you know, there's spiritual advisors and then there's professional counselors. I totally think that there's times in our lives where we have to go seek that. But all in all, Mike had a calling on his life from God. And so to fulfill that calling, he had to get into a place where that could be used. And it's hard to be singing and leading worship in churches and living like hell for the rest of your life. So that caught up with him. It was a controversy of spirit, you know, and the Lord really was leading him and guiding him into a better life, of freedom from that sin. I can't say that he was done with his struggles, you know, because we are all human.
Every day, man. We have
to surrender ourselves daily. And the great thing is we serve a grace-giving God. We talked about that a little last week.
Yeah.
And thankfully, God's grace wants to wrap his arms around us and forgive us and help us to get back on our feet again, even when we fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will tell you, thinking of all of that this week, I am, I'm grateful. I have to then think of myself and think of how much grace God had to give me to bring me to this place. And he has to be that grace-giving God to me every day.
How do you resonate? Last week we talked about, I gave an example on a spiritual podcast of a mother losing a daughter, for example. How do you, you know, how could a God so loving and caring do that, for lack of a better word? Mike has how many kids?
Two.
Two kids. What are your thoughts? What would you say to Mike's children if you see them? You're going to the funeral this week. Shane, why did God take daddy from us?
You know, last week I mentioned that there are some things that I don't know the answer to. I think I'm asking God that same question this week.
Are you angry?
I'm very upset with God. You know, I think there are different levels of grieving, and I think it would be stupid for us not to go through them. Mm-hmm. And my first reaction was shock. I literally thought, there's no way. I just spoke with him last week, and
he's 43
years old.
I mean, not
amazing health. Yeah. The joke was always he was on some workout kick or some crazy diet, kind of like you, Sam.
Just describe Sam Crowley. I better go to get my blood checked or something, man.
Oh, hey, God. You know what? Yeah. I will tell you, I've thought a lot about my health this week, and you know, he was just a year older than me, and I think, wow, he was in such great shape. How does that happen to him? And obviously a heart attack is, you know, nobody knows that's coming.
Right.
You would not look at him and say he was...
a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, he was underweight. His fiance is complete vegetarian. So, I mean, it's not...
Wow.
He wasn't even around a lot of stuff that would injure him. Now he hasn't lived like that his whole life, I know, but and our hearts are definitely fragile, but I would look at his kids, and I'll see them, and my heart is broken for Mike's dad, his two brothers, which I'm very close to, his mom, an amazing family, some of the most gifted people really in the world. Are these three men, these three brothers, and his one brother is a famous photographer. Another one's a great songwriter. Mike was a songwriter and singer. They're all photographers, famous.
Yeah.
I mean, not just like a photographer like me, novice, but I would look at him and say, you know what? I don't understand it, but your dad's impact on hundreds of thousands of people in his life has been worth it. And someday we see him again. For I believe that through the resurrection of Jesus, which we're about to celebrate here in about 40 days at Easter, we celebrate that Jesus took the pain out of dying and death. And I believe it and have experienced God's grace in my life to know that without a doubt, his time was now. I don't understand why, but I do and can trust that I will see him again. And now my responsibility is to live my life so that when I stand before God at judgment, I will be able to see Mike again. And, you know, I've shed a lot of tears this week, Sam.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever lost anybody in your life, and having lost a brother, having lost family members, there are moments where death makes heaven very, very close. So our question about heaven and hell last week, you know, today I'm thinking about the doorstep of heaven and wondering what's that like and where is he? And I can see an image or hear a song and immediately think of his friendship, and just tears my heart up that it really sucks that he's not here anymore. Yeah. And, but his legacy of worship and passion, he's Nashville's number one wedding photographer.
Is that right?
He's got, an incredible career that he built there. There's hundreds upon hundreds of couples that he has photographed and that are mourning and grieving because he had a personality that connected with people, and he's very missed.
You know, I get angry, which we were talking off mic about. Sometimes I speak in extremes, and I'm an excitable individual. My mom died in 1997, heart attack. She was 69 years old, you know, but I was angry. Like, I was really mad. I wasn't questioning, is there a God? But I'm questioning, why? You know, it's like she raised 8 kids by herself and never really had much money. And then she just dies of a heart attack just when things are starting to get just a little bit easier for her. So I went to a church. We were members of a Wesleyan church at the time in Amherst, New York. My wife and I went to Williamsville, New York, rather. And I wanted something. Give me something. I was like, I went to the pastor, and I was just broken. I was drinking. I wasn't like drinking alcohol for breakfast, but I would go out every night, like for a month after my mom died, to numb the pain in my mind because I was in so much pain being the youngest kid. I had a great relationship with my mom. And he couldn't give me, I didn't even like the, he said, well, read this scripture in Philippians and read this scripture. I'm like, this, no, man, this isn't doing anything for you. You know,
right.
I wanted it almost when like that shot in my back I talked about to alleviate. I had that pain in my back this week. I got a shot and the pain went away. There
man,
is no,
if it was that easy. Oh,
dude, it's so
I
hard.
I wish there was a shot.
When people you
grief,
love
yeah.
die, there's no, you can go to scripture. I want to know like where you go into the Bible, because I'm sure you've dived into your Bible this week to put some sort of rationale around the loss of a good friend of yours. But that doesn't do it for me, man. I mean, what do you tell some? I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful. It does. I mean, when you really meditate on a scripture, it allows you to at least get some semblance, but it doesn't bring them back. All it does is kind of make it hurt more. Where do you go? Like, where have you gone this week to grieve in your Bible or call friends of Mike or his family or anybody like that to at least try to get through this initial? Because there's people right now hurting just like you.
Right.
That have just lost somebody in the past month, 2 months. What answer? Where can they go to at least get that shot to make it numb or feel a little better or feel, you know, just help me get through this, Shane. I'm going through, I love this person and now they're gone.
There's a lot written about grieving, and there's probably a podcast out there about grieving.
Yeah.
But I would tell you,
I want your raw, unfiltered Starbucks conversation. What do you do?
Most of the time I do tell them, you know, that spending time with family or spending time talking about that person is very helpful. There's a level of grief where you don't want to do that, and it just makes you frustrated or angry to have to sit and talk about somebody that's no longer there and you have no control, because there is no control with this, you know? And that's why death makes people angry. It's out of our control and it just happened, and we want to blame something or somebody for it. But I have really been looking over old photographs of him, listening to his music, watching the services where we shared in worship for 20 plus years. I've thought of some funny memories. I've thought of some great debates and arguing that we've had about certain things.
Yeah.
And it brings comfort to me because it makes me realize that was for real. That happened. That was a reality of my life.
Yeah.
And when we don't do that and we avoid all those things, then the pain just lingers in our lives because we don't really know what to do with it. It's still there. And was it there? Was it real? And, The other part of that is I really love sharing memories with other people. So my kids have heard a lot about Mike this week.
Yeah.
Kate has, and Kate's grieving too. She was close. My wife was close with Mike and his family, and we have a long history with their family too. But, and then a memorial service. People hate funerals. Well, funerals aren't really about dead people.
Yeah.
They're about us, people that are alive.
Yeah.
And we go to funerals not because I love seeing dead people. I go to funerals because I love people, and I also want help to figure this out.
Yeah.
And so these moments, they're not always they're not fun, I couldn't say, but they're healing.
They are healing. Yeah.
They're part of that. And, you know, it's frustrating for me when I hear someone say, I never go to funerals. Mm-hmm. I never take my kids to funerals. We never realize someday, if you haven't, you have somebody in your life that will pass. You'll have no idea how to walk through that situation and it can be incredibly long term. There can be incredible difficult effects on your life long term if you're not able to cope with that. I do also tell them to pray and talk to God. Somebody once told me this, Sam, and I think it's one of the most powerful lessons I ever learned. I had a professor in college, a religion professor, who said to me, he opened the class with, "I had a horrible summer. My mom and dad died, and I am mad at God."
Mm.
And that's how he started this class. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa,
yeah, right.
What's going on?
Welcome back, class.
He didn't know that I was, you know, 10 months into losing my brother.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting there, and he said this statement, and it's one that people can cling to, is God is the only person who you can be mad at, and he's still going to love you and accept you because he created you.
Mm.
And I was released to be angry and frustrated with God, and yet still acknowledge he's God, because by me saying he's angry, I'm still saying he's still God.
Yeah.
So I'm angry. God is God. I'm not. And thankfully I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes decisions that are so far above my head. There is no theology to explain it. Mm-hmm. His ways are higher. I have to trust that. And that's what I tell people. And it's helped me. It's helped a lot of people through life, that idea that God is capable of handling your anger and disappointment.
That's good, because I got a lot of that sometimes.
There you
anger
go.
Anger and disappointment.
There you go.
You're right. And then, you know, death. We're going to wrap up today's podcast, Sunday Spiritual Podcast, chatting with Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church here in Loveland, Ohio. A regular now in his studio. How's it feel to be a regular on the Everyday is Saturday show? Do you feel like you hit the big time now?
It's huge, man.
For your career.
I'm enjoying it.
Good to be here. This could be the worst decision you made for your career. You know, death is so permanent, man. We're going to wrap it up with this thought, and then we're going to fade into Mike's music. Mike Cowart, you can download his music on iTunes, Cowart, a friend of Shane's and a friend of ours in the Cincinnati community. Gone way too soon at the age of 43 years old. Leaves behind two children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the ages, of his kids, by the way?
I think they're 10 and 14.
Young.
Or maybe 11 and 14.
We got to squeeze the last bit of toothpaste out of the tube of life, man. You know? Is there any regret you have not catching up with Mike in the past few months or anything? When was the last conversation you had?
Last week. Okay. And one of the things I would say that I've been thinking of this week that I definitely want to impress as I close would be, never miss the opportunity to tell people that you love them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be scared of that word. And my daughter was really worried about me, and she said, "Dad, I don't like to see you upset." And she just has this look of And I said, I told my daughter this week, and I've thought a lot about it, but I would rather hurt the way that I do, because I loved and cared for my good friend, than to have never have had the experiences or the kind of relationship that I had with him and his family. And it's been worth it. and it is always worth the pain. So right now is just a consequence of really caring for someone and having a friendship and taking that risk. And as guys, we really stink at
really
making
stink.
Friends.
Yeah. Both hands in the air right here.
So when we can make a friend that does that and really builds a relationship, it's one of those things where it's always worth it.
It is.
And it's taking that risk. And so I just encourage you, if you have people in your life right now, make sure that they know how much you care about them.
That's a great point and a great way to end today's show because as guys especially, we don't do it. It's macho. It's this or that, whatever it is. I was horrible at it. I'm trying to get better. I'm not even, you know, that great at it myself. But I'm trying to build deeper relationships with people from all around the world that I continue to meet. And I always try to tell people, only when I mean it, that I do appreciate them. You know, I don't want to give just a false compliment because people, that almost has a backfiring effect if they can sniff out a phony. But right. You never miss an opportunity to tell people how much you appreciate them, that you love them, and that you're praying for them, you know, if that's what you want to do and they want to hear. And I think when it's sincere, like right. Your relationship with Mike was one of a kind, you know. Yeah. And we all have Mike Cowarts in our life, and we probably don't take the opportunity to tell our own Mike Cowarts how much they mean to us.
That's right.
And how much we've enjoyed sharing that relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And then you get the phone call like you did last Sunday night driving home from the movie theater, or the text message rather, and it's all over.
Yeah.
And there's no more opportunity in this physical life to tell that person.
That's right.
You know? So Shane, we're going to close it out with Mike's song, Even If I Fall. Great having you back in the studio. We'll see you again next week, Shane.
We'll see you back. It'll be great.
Everyday Saturday Spiritual Podcast. Here's Mike Cowher, everybody. Have a great day.